Okay, we're up to in chapter 32 in Laws of Tefillin, and we're up to now subsection 37, Lamed Zayin, Sif Lamed Zayin. So now we were talking before about extra letters. What about if a person wrote an extra word inside the Torah? He wrote an extra word, and actually, we're not talking about the Torah here. Here we're talking about the Tefillin. We're talking about the parts of the Tefillin. Many of the laws are the same for the Torah, as we'll see. But in the Tefillin, he wrote an extra word. And so what happens now? So, im kosav teva achas yiseid, if he wrote additional word, you get it. He should just erase it, scrape it down. So the place will be empty. It's fine, doesn't matter, you leave empty space. Well, so you have one word here, and then you got a large space, and then you got the next word, so you have an extra space over here, a larger space. So he says, even though there is not necessary for there to be a blank, should be, there's no reason for it to be blank. That would not disqualify. As long, kol she'ein b'mokim ha'cholok, as long that the space is not so much kishur as the amount of revach should be impartial to parsha shukidei talos oisius, that it doesn't have the space necessary in between the section, between the paragraphs of the Shema and the Vahoya and the Kaddish, the different parshas, which is the shir kidei tes oisius, which is nine letters, which means the space between one parsha. We have four parshas in the Tefillin. A parsha is a paragraph, is a section. And matter of fact, that two out of the four come from different parts of the Chumash, and then two come from the same part. But even the two that came from the same part, from the parshas Bo, are two separate parshas. A parsha means a separate section. Like we call it a parsha. A parsha is a section. We call it like the seven parshios is because we divide into seven sections. In the Torah, a parsha is determined by how much space it has between one reading and the next reading. The space of nine letters makes the other one that follows a parsha. So in this case, if you just erased a word, but the word did not create a space of nine letters, that which would be the necessary requirement for parsha to parsha, then it's okay.
If you made a mistake, you have to go back all the way and scrape everything off.
Yeah, well, that's correct.
So now we can leave.
But that, no, one second. But that would apply, over here, that would apply in a case in which, writing would be out of order, which means that when he fixes it, in this case, he's not writing anything. He's just taking something out of there. He's taking out an extra word. So taking out an extra word does not constitute, he's not writing anything afterward. He's just taking out something which was added. Very good point. But the point of here is, he's not taking out, he's not writing something. He's not fixing.
It was part of the original text.
Yeah, but it was extra taken out is okay, but you're not rewriting anything. Everything is okay.
Actually,
it's correct. So you're not rewriting anything. You're just taking out something from there. So that's okay. It doesn't mean now. So while you had it first, it wasn't kosher. Now it becomes kosher. It doesn't matter the beginning, the end. Everything becomes kosher because now you have a correct parsha. But in this case, it doesn't matter. Now,
how they go with the nine?
Why is the nine letters?
Yeah.
We'll have to see that later. That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly where it come. I think it may be Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, maybe that's been passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu by tradition. I'm not sure. That's maybe where it comes from. We'll have to see later on. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Now, he says like this: V'im si mateva shalifoneho hu ois hei. Now, oikuf. So he's saying like this: if the last word, the last letter of the word that preceded it. So you have the extra word. So if the last word that preceded it ended with a hey, or it ended with a kuf, a hey or a kuf, it ended with those two letters, you cannot pull the top part over there so that it fills in this space. So you had an extra letter, so now you want to fill in the space by dragging, by extending it further. Why? Because what will happen is the leg, mipnei, because the leg of the hay and the kuf needs to be at the end of the letter. So if you're going to drag the top to cover up the space that was created now by the fact that you erased the letter, so then what's going to happen is the leg which comes isn't going to be in the right place. It's going to be in the middle of the of that letter and not at the end of the letter, because you stretched out the top of the letter. So that wouldn't work. So that's no good. So because that's what it says. You cannot extend them to fill the place of the space, because the foot of the hay and the kuf needs to be at the end. Now what happens if you're going to go ahead and re-scrape off the leg, and then you're going to put it at the end where it belongs, Nimtzo Kosef Shleiki Sidrum, then it'll turn out that you're writing it not in the correct order, because now you rewrite, now you're making a new kuf, you're making a new resh.
Plus there's letters after, there's words after it.
What?
There are words after it, right?
Yeah, but that, no, but you're trying, all what you're trying to do is,
you filled in the space.
Fill in the space by stretching out the roof. He says, if you leave the leg there, it's not a good kuf or a hay, because the leg has to be at the end of the letter. If you're going to scrape it off and rewrite it at the end, then you are writing it not in order, because now you made it the kuf, now you've already written till the end of the parsha, so it's going to be out of order. So that's why you can't do that. But it seems though, but if he had, let's say, just a reish or just a dalet, that wouldn't be a problem.
No.
Then he can stretch it out and fill in that hollow space.
The Torah, when they stretch a letter,
yeah,
I'm not really sure, but I've seen them stretch. But can it be the last letter of the word that's stretched, or is it usually in the middle?
No, it could be the last letter. It could be the last letter. Yeah. So he says like this: V'im aval im yicholak shirtas oisis kshigratei va'isedo. But what happens if it will leave a space? If you are going to erase the extra word, it leave you a space which will create a space of nine letters. This extra letter scraping off will leave you now a space of nine letters. So it'll turn out that you'll have a space which is usually between one portion and the other portion, which there is no parsha. So the yivsula tefillin, and now the tefillin will be puzzled. So what does one do? So he says. So now, but you have a kuf or a hay at the end, and now you have a space, and now you're gonna have a puzzle. So what are you gonna do? If you're going to erase it, you're gonna get nine letters space. It's gonna be puzzle tefillin. So he says yesh lahokel limshech hay. You can be lenient to drag, stretch out the hay. This law that we mentioned before, that the leg of the kuf and the leg of the hay has to be at the end of the letter, afal pi shelo ragu b'sofa, you can stretch it out, even though it'll turn out that the leg will not be in the end. Ma'achas shelo huskar zeh b'talmud. This has not been mentioned in the Talmud. This rule that the letter has to be at the end is not something that the Talmud mentioned. So it's not as important in a case that your tefillin will be puzzled and is not going to be able to use the tefillin. You can be lenient and you can go ahead and use those tefillin. You can use those parshiyos. I mean, you can't erase it and rewrite it. That'll be shleik yisidron, that'll be puzzled. But just to end up filling on the space because you don't have enough, you have too much space over there, that way you can do so. Let's do next Sif. Now, Sif Lamed Ches, section 38. So what happens, Hoyo Koisef, he was writing, describes writing, V'toh, so he makes a mistake, U'mochkoi bo'odei lach, and he erases it while it's still wet, it's still moist, the ink isn't dried, he erases it. Oishin is yabish, or it dries out the gurra and you scrape it off. So the same thing is v'chenim nofel diyoy al aklaf. Same thing would be if there is ink, falls a drop of ink on the parchment. Umachkoy b'idolach, and you erase it while it's either still moist, you just remove it, or you scrape it off after it's been dried out. Muter lichtev al-mokoyim ha-machak or al-mokoyim ha-gerar. It is permissible to write on the place that you erased or on the place that you scraped off. It's all right to use to write on the place that you have erased or that you have removed. Afilu ha-skora, even the God's name is permitted to say, to be written like that. K'moy shemuter b'sefer Torah, just as it is permissible in a Torah scroll to write the name on a place that you erased. Same thing is true for the tefillin. But the tefillin, the only problem is if you have already written further on, you can't fix the back. But as you're writing, so you want to fix, you can erase and or remove the extra ink, and then you go ahead and you continue writing. But he says, it's best not to erase it while it's still wet, the ink. Because if you erase it then, you might still get a little bit left over. There's some smudge, some left over. It says, first of all, you dry it out well with fire. Make sure that it's dried out well. Because you go to Bekal, then you can easily scrape it off. But and there would be nothing, nothing left back, nothing behind from before.
There won't be any remnant left.
Yeah, nothing left from seeing from before. The reshum left, so that's the best way. Now, in section Lamates, Sif Lamates, he says, Nigbak ois lechaverto beois yois Hashem. While writing God's name, if you had two letters touching each other, so it's not kosher, you need them to be separate. But so, yochel legoyderon ulafridon, you can scrape off to separate the letters, they should be separate letters. Now, here you're doing it with God's name. So, ve'em begreide zu mishumechkes Hashem, this is not does not constitute erasing God's name, because here you have the name of Hashem, and you're taking off a piece of Hashem's name over here, comes out. Because here the letters, okay, they were touching each other, but it's still Hashem's name. But he says, since he's doing it, that's not called erasing God's name. It's called fixing God's name, because you're actually making the name correctly. So then that's why it's permissible. Subsection Mem. So he says like this. Oisius, and this is a very, very practical question, which happens all the time. You know, you have a Torah, it's starting to fade, or starting to be erased. Now, is it totally faded? Is it have anything left over? So we're going to see like this. So in Sif Mem, subsection Mem, 40. If you have either letters or words that have been somewhat erased. Now, im reshuma nikar kolkach, if there is left over so much of a reshim, left over to the extent that you can still tell that this child who is neither too smart, not too foolish, as we've been using him throughout this this process, muter lahavir kul musalim. So you're allowed to, in this case, you're allowed to take a the kulmus, the pen, the feather, the quill over them, lahetiv aksav, to better the writing, ulechadish, and to renew it. That does not mean that it's out of order, because as long as the child would still read it, you can go ahead and repair it and fix it. Because right now it's still a kosher writing, so it's okay to rejuvenate it, to get it back into the. And the fact that you're adding to it, it's just that you are protecting it, that it shouldn't erase more. So now it comes out, you're not rewriting it, but you're actually protecting it from further fading further. But this is only applies when there is somewhat of the coloring of the ink is still in existence. But if the entire ink has actually gone off the parchment, there's only a mark left from the redness, that's the rust of the ink. So there's a rusty, that's all that's left behind. So if when you actually are putting over your quill over it, how does it? Then you're writing it out of order. So you can't fix it if it's there's no ink left on it. You can't just write over it because then you're going out of order. And this goes without saying. If when you wrote it, the ink wasn't black. Or it's similar to white, whose color has been faded, or to red. So, if such a writing, which is white, that's not a kosher. That's not kosher ink. That's not a kosher writing. So now, when you're writing it again, and one must write it, rewrite it with a regular, with a quill. In a kosher way, she has them shalei kisidron. Here would apply the law that it's out of order. That shalei kisidron, if you wrote it that way, because it's not kosher that way. The white faded ink or the reddish is not a kosher writing. It's not a kosher Torah. So therefore, if you write it now, you would be again sort of writing it now anew, and that would make it, that would constitute shalei kisidron. Next halacha. Halacha mem aleph. So here's another interesting halacha. So you know that the most of the letters go online, but then we have on the line, and if you run a line across the top and across the bottom, they fit in between those two lines. But like a lamed, the top of the lamed goes up higher, the bottom of the kuf goes down lower. So he says like this: Yesh li zoyer, one needs to be careful lachatchila when you begin with. That the lamed that is in this line, inside of the space area of the hey v'aches, and the ches shebeshita shalamaylemen in the line that's above it. So if you have a ches in the line above and you have a lamed in the bottom line, so you have to be careful that the lamed shouldn't go into that hey or into that ches. Even without touching it, because you're changing, that letter has to be folded, but now you're going to have a from the bottom line, you're going to have the point of the lamed sticking in the middle of the space of the hay, middle of the ches. So, this goes across the board. But that would apply, but by a hay and a ches, there is no line over there altogether. It's supposed to be a space, and you're sticking in a line. But what happens if the word above you is a dalet? And now by sticking it in, it looks like a hey. Because now it has a hey. But v'im nichnasu b'inyan shehiv tzitzuras hois. But if it goes in a way that now it loses the shape of the letter. So a ches with a stick in the middle doesn't change letter. It's still a ches, but you have something sticking out in there. Or a hey with something in the middle. But you have a dalet with a stick at the end over there in the middle, it becomes a hey now. V'nira kehei. Then it's possible, then it is psula. Now, in section, subsection Membeis 42, Imein aparshish guris b'fiv, if he is not really comfortable with the portions that he can spit it out with his mouth, that he knows it perfectly, tzorich sheyichtev mitoich haktsav, you must write from a writing. In other words, you have to look and write, you can't just do it out of memory, unless you know it. You're very fluent in it, that's different. But if it's not fluent, then you have to do it from writing. And the reason is Shema Yita, you might make a mistake. What happens if... Hello?